Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I had never been to Kuwait before, and I am thrilled to be here. I had a lot of fun this week discovering around and walking around and finding places and pointing at things because my Arabic is really bad. I have a few things, but they're not that great. So thank you for allowing me to be here. Now, today we're going to do finances. Like last week, we did how do you choose what you choose? Like how do you make those decisions, if you remember, if you were here last week? We're moving on to a specific area then in finances. And they could be strange, right? How do you do that? So what I'm going to give you today is five principles of how God sees how we should be making our decisions in finances. All right? And so let me start out with first one. That is, God owns everything. All right? Very easy, but if you get nothing else from the sermon and tune out, you've gotten the most important part. God owns everything. All right? What's principle number one? God owns everything. Right? And it tells us in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. What is this? God owns everything, right? Now, when I walked in here today, I saw Ryan's shirt. Ryan, would you stand up for everybody? I noticed the shirt because I was an in-school suspension supervisor. And we would turn off the internet and the guys would still be playing, right? Now, Ryan, I have a question for you. Who owns that shirt?
Me. No, I'm drinking coke.
Good job. Did you see that? What did he say at first? He said, my shirt, right? No. Remember the first principle. What's the first principle? God owns everything. All right? Who owns what we have?
God.
All right? And we have to start with that principle that it is God's. I don't actually own anything. God has allowed me to have things. God has provided for me. It is God's. All right? Clear on that one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the second one. This is real easy, right? All right, second one. We manage God's resources. That's what we do. We manage what God has given us. And when he gives us something, then we're the ones who manage it, right? We need to take responsibility for that. Again, there's this story in Matthew 25. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in portions to their abilities. He then left on his trip. He saw one. He said, man, this guy, he can take care of lots. I'm going to give him 5. And this person, they're good, but not that good. going to give him two. And this person, not sure. We'll try him with one, right? And he goes on this long trip. So let me paraphrase the story a little bit for you. He goes on this long trip. He comes back after a long time. And he says to his servants, okay, tell me what you've done with what I've given you. And the guy with five says, well, I got five more bags of silver. So I have 10 bags of silver for you. Is it the servants? No, it's the owner's. And he gives it back the 10. And the owner says, you good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. And so I'm going to give you more responsibility because I know that you're a good and faithful servant. And the person with two gives back two more. He invested and gave back two more. So he gave back four. And what's the owner say? He doesn't say, oh, you didn't do as well, right? He said, I gave you two. You came two. Good and faithful servant, right? God has given us things on our abilities. And when we're faithful, he gives us more. And that's what this guy did. Now there's the last one who said, well, boss, I know that you're pretty strict. You gave me one, and, you know, I didn't squander it. I didn't spend it all, but I have the one for you. I buried it. The owner was like, you had one, and you did nothing with it? You could have put it in the bank and gotten at least some interest. Get away from me. And take the one that he had and give it to the person who had five. Why? God has entrusted us with certain talents, abilities, finances, and it is our job to invest those into his kingdom, into things that he wants. Because everything belongs to God. This is what actually, at the end of Matthew 25, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. Now, when it comes to finances, let me tell you this secret, okay? Everyone want to know? Here it goes. Ready? To get rich, you spend less than your income. To get poor, you spend more than your income. Wise saying, isn't it? Come on. Never heard it? So, did that all go to one? Shoot. Oh, well. You didn't go one by one? Sorry. All right. Normally I do it needs, wants, desires, but it looks like our slide just went all at once. All right. Needs. There are things that we need, right? But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So we start out with what do we need? And Paul here says you need food and clothing. Now, I come from Asia, spent most of my life in Asia. It rains a lot. I would love to add shelter to this one, okay? I don't know about you. It's winter in America. I like shelter, okay? So that's not scriptural, but I would add shelter. Is that all right? So you pay for your housing, right? What you need is food and clothing. Now, the other night, I was thinking, you know, I see all these fish markets, and I'm right by the ocean, and I love grilled fish. Okay, that's just, I enjoy a good grilled fish. And so I go around and I find a place, on the internet, where do I get good grilled fish, right? And so I find a place that says, no, these people are horrible, this is bad, and whatever. And I finally find a place. Now, do I need the grilled fish? No. Is it food? Yes. Okay. Am I willing to spend a little bit more to have grilled fish versus something a lot cheaper? Chicken, usually, whatever. Yeah. Right? Okay. That's because that's what I wanted that night. And it becomes a want, right? It's not that we need it, but there are some things that we do want, okay? Proverbs 22:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. You spend too much on your wants, you're not going to become rich. Right? Are they bad? If you have the finances, okay. You have wants, that's okay. Now there's the third one is desire. And this is 1 John 2:15 says it this way. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, which would be the sexual issues, the lust of the eye, which would be money or possessions, and the pride of life, which would be kind of like power. Those are the three main issues. Comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The issues here on desire is we're not wanting what God wants. We're wanting what we want. We're wanting things that are not what God wants. We're wanting what the devil wants. And so when we go to desire, we're not spending our money on the things for God's kingdom or for what are good or what are needs. We're not managing God's money in a good way. So there's needs, wants, and desires. Needs, you got to do that. Wants, okay. Desires, let's stay away from those. A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. You know those get-rich-quick schemes? Everybody hears them. You ever heard one? Hey, if you do this, you'll get rich right now. Let me tell you, they don't work. There's usually something bad at the end. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil, sorry. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It is often quoted to me, money is the root of all evils. They're trying to quote this verse. That is not what this verse says. What is the root of all evil? The love of money. There are some very poor people who loved money. There are some very rich people who love money. Okay? It's not the money that is the issue. It is the desire that is the issue. All right. That was the long part. Sorry about that. All right. First thing is, what's the first principle?
God of everything.
The second principle?
My father more.
Okay. And so the third principle here is honor God with the resources we manage. So what is, my slides did not do well. They're supposed to come up little by little. Sorry about that. What is the most money you have ever made in one time? I won't have you yell it out because there's probably different currencies in here, right? living in Indonesia, a million rupiah was $100 U.S. So, like a million. Woo-hoo. Okay. Buddy. Every paycheck, I was a millionaire. I loved it, right? So think of when you got this windfall. I don't know if you won a lot or someday you just, they gave you tons of money for your job. You worked overtime or something. Think about that time. How much of that did you tithe? It's a question for you. Managers who steal don't last long. If you're managing somebody's money and you're stealing it, it's not long before the owner says, hey, I don't need your help anymore. Correct? In normal life, if you're managing something poorly, you're not going to have that job very long. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Let me explain this a little bit. Tithes and offerings. Before I get to this next slide, I better just do it. I had it so it would go little by little, but this is going to go all the way, right? Okay, there you go. Tithes and offerings. Tithes is 10%. What you make, God has asked in the Old Testament for 10%. Why'd he do that? Well, they gave it to the temple to run the temple. Though we worship our governments at this point, would only take 10%. Many of us would wish it was only 10%, right? Government taxes are usually a little bit more. But that's what it was. It was 10% to run kind of the government and the temple and the society there, right? You would give your 10% so that your local time or your local place would be able to be run, okay? Now, does the New Testament talk about tithes? Not really. It talks about offerings, okay? So what's an offering? Usually what an offering would be is above the 10%. It's what you give above what you need to. Okay? So when he talks about tithes and offerings, he's not just talking about a 10%. He's talking about the what you would give to your local church, what you would give to your local place for it to run. And then the offering is that above that. Okay? Some people do it, okay, I give tithes to my local church, I give my offering to missions or some other program that I want to give to, all right? I don't know how God lays it upon your heart, all right? But what God has said here is, look, I need you to be supporting my kingdom. I've given you all this, but in managing that finances, I need you to be able to support my kingdom so that my kingdom will grow. It's God's kingdom, right? And that's what he's asked us to do, is to support that kingdom. All right? Let me give you a little bit about how I learned this, okay? They told me I had to go back to America and go to seminary. I was not happy, but okay, right? That's what I needed to do to go the next step that I needed to go in my ministry. So we went back to America. We went to seminary. And my third son was born a month after we got into seminary. I had 1 month of intensive Greek. I told my wife, I've got 3 days off before the semester starts. That child better be born in those 3 days. Being the great wife she is, he was. Okay? So my wife is out of commission. She's not working, right? She's got a little baby, 2 other kids. She's not working. I took 40 credit hours because I did not want to stay there very long. I crammed in 40 credit hours in a master's level that year. It was $120 a credit hour. I know. It was way back in 2003. You can't get that price at this point, but that's what it was. All right? We're in New York. Cheapest rent because I had gotten a really good deal. It was about the same as getting a one-bedroom apartment. $700, we got a three-bedroom house. Great deal. Great deal. And because I needed experience as a minister, more experience, they said, hey, we've got a church that's closing. You've got a year. You can either get it going or we're going to close it. And we'll pay you $800 a month to do that. Okay. Rent is $700. Right? I got a choice to make. Am I going to pay my tithe or not? Tithe is 80 bucks then, right? 880. That leaves my family of five with $20 a month to live on. And God said, I want you to honor me. Okay, you're tied. I just really felt like God was saying, this is my test for you. I said, okay, I'm going to pay my tithe to the church. So we've got $20 to live on, right? And I am going, okay, God, I have no clue how this is going to work, right? This is going to end bad. This looks like it's going to really end bad, right? You know what? New York, it's really cold. Some person came and said, hey, you know, we thought we were going to have more kids. Our kids are just a little older than yours, and we decided not to have any more children. But we've been saving all the clothes for our children, for the next child. And they brought us, like, boxes that were huge, 2 huge boxes full of clothes for us. My oldest son didn't have a jacket, and it was winter. And one day, in my mailbox, there shows up a winter jacket for him. I left seminary after a year without a debt. Now, I don't know. I know some of you math people are looking at this and going, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I have no idea how that happened. But God said to me, if you're going to honor me, I'll honor you. Was I rich at the end? No, I was at zero. But I wasn't in debt. He blessed me throughout that whole time. You see, Malachi says it this way, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And I emphasize that word test. For you who are going, I'm not sure about this stuff, please, test God. I mean, it's in his word. He says, test it. Go ahead. You're managing what is God's. Honor him and test him. Say, okay, God, here it is. Start with 10%. Might be more as you get to the offering part. All right. First principle.
God owns everything.
Second principle.
It's resources.
Third principle.
Resources. Yeah.
Okay. And the fifth one. Stay out of debt. Some of you are going to look at me like, okay, remember? To get rich, you spend less than your income. But if you want to get poor, you spend more than your income. It's a real easy formula here. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Probably my favorite here is in Romans. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. I know, nowadays you hear there's good debt and bad debt. There's good debt and bad debt. My one son's a math teacher and we're discussing, you know, how much he gets in the bank versus how much his loan is and what that works out. And I'm like, no, it's a debt. He's like, no, I'm making more money this way. I don't understand at all, okay? I'm not a great mathematician. But the scripture says no debt. Play with that how you do. Some of you are in business and have to do some things. Okay, deal with. Ask God about that because you're managing his money, right? Proverbs says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. If you've got a debt, you've got to pay it off. And that becomes an issue all the time. And it's something you're thinking about instead of how can I move forward? As a minister who wants to be able to go wherever God wants me to, if I'm not in debt, I could do that. If I'm tied down with debt, I have to say, I have to make so much, I have to do this to be able to pay that debt off. Okay? I'll just intersect this one for you so you can understand where I'm coming from. I really felt like I was going to be a pilot mechanic. I wanted to be a bush pilot. And that's where I really want to go. And I don't know if you ever tried to fly or become a pilot, but it becomes money, right, to get there. And so I had accumulated quite a bit of a debt when we got married for getting my pilot's licenses. My wife and I, the first year and a half of marriage, everything I made went towards that debt, and everything she made, we lived on. And we got a year and a half paid that off so that we were debt-free and we could go where we needed to go. All right? The problem is the school she worked at only paid 10, because she's a teacher, only paid 10 months of the year, not 12. So those 2 months were pretty hard. But we did pay it off and have been able to go where God wants us anytime he wants us to leave or go. So this is one of the things that I try to emphasize. Stay out of debt. Why? It allows you to be able to go where God wants you. It allows you to be part of God's kingdom wherever he wants his kingdom to be. It allows you to be generous. All right. Number one. Number two.
He may transfix verses.
Number three. Number four. And number five. Save a little. The wise store up choice food and olive oils. But the fools gulp theirs down. Emergency savings. So if anything happens, you got a little bit there, right? You do the short-term savings for needs around. And then those their long-term savings. How are you getting ready for retirement or whatever, right? Your investments and investing like that. Now, I didn't really understand this. We do money. They more did in the biblical times, possessions of what they had in the home, right? And I didn't really understand this till we were working at a school and managing that school, and the school kind of went down. There was less students coming. And so we had to let one of the maids go. It was a boarding school. And so we had to let one of the maids go. And we just didn't have enough work, right? And so we paid her a pension for how long she had been. The government had a pension scheme of how much you had to pay somebody to let them go. And so we paid her this nice wad of cash. She'd been there quite a while. And she didn't go home. First thing she did was she went downtown and she bought all new furniture and then went home. And I went, I mean, that's her life savings kind of thing, right? Why would she buy furniture instead of putting it in the bank, getting some interest and having money? I found out culturally what was happening was if she had gone home, everybody in that village would have known that she had just gotten her pension. I don't know how word travels, but everybody in the village knows everything, right? I don't know if you've lived in these kind of societies and communities. And everybody would be there to ask for a loan, for some money, to help. Oh, I've got this need, you know, my poor uncle, whatever, my son needs a party, you know, like everybody, and she would not be allowed to say no. So what she did was she went and bought furniture because then when she needed money, she could sell it off. Right? Different cultures do it differently, right? And so I don't know how you do it, but what the scripture is saying is you need to have savings. Don't just gulp it all in. Just don't take everything so that later on you have for emergencies, you have those kind of things. And in the scriptures, it's you have food and olive oil. All right? I travel a little too much to have olive oil, right? So how do you do that? All right. So here's an order of priority. If you're making a budget and you're saying, okay, how do we spend? What do we use our money that is coming in, first thing is my tithes and offerings. Why? First thing is, God owns everything. I'm going to manage that. I'm going to honor my boss, God, in that. Second thing is, take some out for savings. Usually it's recommended a 10%. And then you start with your needs, so the rest, that 80%, you live on. And that 80% that you're living on, you start with needs. You don't start with desires. You don't start with wants. You start with needs. I was kind of laughing the other day because somebody would say, well, if you either have to pay your rent or your car payment, which you shouldn't be in debt like this, but if you have a choice of those two, pay the car payment because you can still live in your car. Right? Okay? Think it through. What is my needs? Those are the first things. Then we go to our wants. All right. So if you want to get rich, here's the formula. You spend less than your income. To get poor, you just spend more than your income. But remember, everything is God's and you manage it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wisdom that you have given us in the scriptures. Thank you for allowing us to see your heart, that your kingdom is above everything else, that you are our God, and you are worthy to be praised, and you are worthy to be worshiped. Father, may we do that in how we live, and may others see that in our lives, in how we show them, how we
do our finances, even. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.